날 고대여 공이 사마트네 날 고대 아프니 사마트네 दर खोल दे अपनी सहमत दे दर खोल दे अपनी सहमत दे दर खोल दे अपनी रहमत दे दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे साडे ऐब गुणा सारी माफ चा कर दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे साडे ऐब गुणा सारे माफ चा कर सडे ऐब गुना सारे माफ चा कर दर खोल दे मौला अपनी रहमत दे दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे साडे ऐब गुना सारे माफ चा कर कर करम दी बारिश ई मजलिस ते मेरे मौला कर करम दी बारिश मजलिस ते कर करम दी बारिश मजलिस ते हाय हाय कर करम दी बारिश मजलिस ते सारे सीने दे गुना साफ कर डे कर करम दी बारिश ही मजलिस ते सारे सीने दे गुना साफ चा कर डे सारे सीने दे गुना साफ चा कर दर खोल दे मौला रहमत दे सारे ऐब गुना सारे माफ चा कर कर रहम कर करम दी बारिश ही मजलिस ते सारे सीने तो बुक्स साफ चा कर सारे सीने तो बुक्स साफ चा कर सारे सीने तो किबर साफ चा कर सच है सच है असा मुजरिम सच है हक है असा मुजरिम सच है सच है असम मुजरिम सच है असम मुजरिम पर तेडिया सुनाया पर तेडिया सानू माफ चा कर सच है असा मुजरिम हां पर तेडिया सानू माफ चा कर सानू माफ चा कर दर खोले मौला सहमत दे साडे है गुनाह सारे माफ चा कर वंजू बख्शे बख्शाए ही मजलिस तो वंजू बख्शे बख्शाए ही मजलिस तो वंजू बख्शे बख्शाए ही मजलिस तू अपनी जहमत साडे ते खास चा कर मौला अपनी जहमत साडे ते खास चा कर ओ साडे ऐब गुनावा माफ चा कर साडे ऐब गुनाह साडे माफ चा कर वंजू बख्शे बख्शाए मजलिस तो वंजू बख्शे बख्शाए मजलिस तो अपनी रहमत साडे ते खास चा कर नहमदहु व नसल्लि अला रसूलिहिल करीम अम्मा बाद قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مهدنا للهدى والبرهان اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الغالب مره اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
It is a point of note that which person in this world likes to, desires to stay in the state of continuous worry and pondering and distress and anxiety and sadness and problems. Nobody would like to stay in that continuous state, would they? There will be nobody who has understanding who is a normal, common, general person who would like to stay in a continuous state of problems and difficulties and distress and sadness. We would try to run away from this so that I never have any issues or sadness or problems or anxieties or nervousness. May my life become simple. This is the image or this is the status that we would all like. This is our desire and our requirement. And this is what we live our life for. We have an aim that we live a life totally free of problems and issues and difficulties, anxieties, worries, sadness. And it's apparent, it's obvious that we try to attain this. We strive for this. We don't want the negative things in life. And how do we try to get the positive things in life? How do we try to come into a positive state of life? If we strive correctly, try correctly. Just like there is a mattress full of thorns and nettles, and if I lie down on that mattress of thorns and nettles, then when I wake up in the morning, well, obviously I won't even get through the night. I won't be able to sleep. And how bad will the morning be? That there were thorns and pricks on my body all night long. I couldn't sleep. How will I even sleep? But if I brush aside all the thorns and pricks and nettles on my mattress and I move them out of the way, then the situation will be different. So if we have this striving and struggling and trying, then we'll be okay. But if I try in a bad way, that I try to brush them away and they don't brush away, and then I lie down and I get affected all night long, then that's weak effort. So whatever we call our efforts and striving to improve things in life, and then we blame our issues, we blame our, for example, lifestyle. A rich person will say, I'm distressed, I've got so much wealth, I don't know what to do. The poor person, he will say, I'm poor, I don't have any money, no wealth, and I'm in a state of distress, I need more. And the ill person will say, I'm in a state of, I've got problems because I'm ill. So every person who has an issue in his life or her life will present that issue as the reason why that they have got issues and problems. They're in a state of discontent. But this is not the reality. We have not understood the reality of this problem, and therefore we have not solved it in the right way. If we understand, if we diagnose a problem incorrectly, then you give the wrong solution. In the same way, we diagnose our life issues in the wrong way, and so we will then try to solve them and give medication to them in the wrong way. There's nobody who can diagnose incorrectly and then solve correctly. There's very few percentage of people who will understand and accept that I'm totally fine in life, I'm totally happy, totally excellent, beautiful life without any issues or problems. Everyone will have some sort of or degree of issues in life. But the problem is that we don't go towards the solution. We don't go towards the solution of our problems. There's nobody who is devoid of problems and difficulties in life. Everyone has attachment to issues and problems. And there's a very easy solution to this. What is the easy solution? To get the problems far away, to make them distant from us. If you have sadness, you know sadness? How can I get this to be far from me? How can I eliminate all of the negative things in life? Problems, worries, difficulties, issues. What is the solution? Speak. What is it? What is the solution? You solve it with the same thing, with sadness. Aha, this is the solution. What is the solution for gham, for sadness? Is sadness itself. Not one sadness will remain. That is the best solution. Now we'll be a bit surprised there. But how can this be? That you can solve and eliminate sadness with sadness? How can this be? My brothers, this is something that we need to understand. That both are sadness. But sometimes it happens that you need to, you have one thing, one concept, but history, the history of it is very different. I'll give you an example. For example, somebody meets you and embraces you with passion, with love, and he embraces you and squeezes you. Now he's squeezing you. In this squeezing and embracing you, there will be different intensity. There will be the same squeezing and embracing, that you will feel that this person is squeezing and embracing me out of enmity, and you'll feel the pain. And the same squeezing and embracing, if it is to get a pain far from that person, then you say, no, he's doing it in favor of me. So it's the same pressure and the same embracing and squeezing. And the same person you haven't met for a long time, and he presses on you, he embraces you. And what is that? That is out of love and affection. Yeah, the same physical force, the same embrace, the same squeezing, the same squeezing. And sometimes it happens, people who are apart for many a long time, both of them are squeezing and embracing hard. They say, oh, the heart is not full yet, let's still embrace harder. And what is this embracing? Subhanallah. This is the same thing. Both have love. Both have love. Do you understand? Let's take the tears. You have one eye, the same eye. And the tear is the same quality, an attribute, water, it drops. But the story of the teardrop can be different. It can be different. Sometimes a tear is out of a different reason, and sometimes the tear drops due to a different reason. Sometimes a tear gives a different message. Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, there are some events in his life that relate to the tears. I'll tell you about his tears. Jibreel alayhi salam came, and the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stated that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has decided for you to make hijrah, to migrate from Makkah to Medina. Now please go on the migration, on the journey. And Allah Ta'ala has given you, assigned you a companion on your journey of migration. Without asking Allah Ta'ala guide, there will be an assistant with you, a friend with you. And Rasulullah SAW didn't ask. And Jibreel himself said that the selection of Allah for your companion is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Allah, imagine the status of Siddiq. This is just one little example I'm giving you. How Allah selected himself, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. What was the selection? Great. Rasulullah SAW said, fine. The hukm came for hijrah, for migration. Rasulullah ﷺ made preparations. In Tabarani, Hazrat Asma radiyallahu anha narrates this hadith that Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha saw that the noble Prophet ﷺ came, and he didn't come in the way he would always come. She saw that Rasulullah's face was lowered and his manner of approaching was different. And she was a bit surprised, as Aisha, when she saw that Rasulullah was approaching, that this was the normal habit of Rasulullah, that he would come to meet his friend in two times to her father's home, Abu Bakr Siddiq. SubhanAllah, what great friendship, huh? Every day, the habit of Rasulullah was to meet in the morning to Abu Bakr Siddiq, and in the evening he would meet Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his friend. So Hazrat Aisha said, that day I was in the house. It wasn't morning. It wasn't evening. This was Zawwal, intense heat at that time. And Rasulullah said, what was he coming at this time for? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She went straight away to her father and said, Abba, father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a father, that Rasulullah has come and his face is lowered, covered, and it is afternoon time, and it's a different time he's come. Is it khair? Rasulullah ﷺ came, and he came to the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq straight away cleaned his mat and made a mat for Rasulullah ﷺ, beautiful sitting for him to sit down. Then he came. Rasulullah ﷺ was in a different manner that time, different emotion. He ordered, empty the room. Your daughters were here. Tell them to leave. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is Aisha and Asma. These are sisters, you know, my daughters. These are women folk of the home. These are my daughters. There's no problem. It's okay. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has given me the hukm, the order for hijrah. And he just said that. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he breathed high and then he didn't breathe down. This was a big, big piece of news. Rasulullah is leaving. He's going on migration. And he felt, what's going to happen now? He must have had the emotion. Suddenly he felt a bit low. And then Rasulullah said, Allah has ordered that I go on migration. As Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was there in the room, she said that my father, his situation that time went out of control. He felt sad, in distress. Suddenly, immediately. Then the next statement that Rasulullah made, that you also will go with me. Aha. Then as Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha said, that I never saw in my life my father, his face at that time. There's so much passion, so much extreme passion he had on his face at that time. Love and passion and jazbah. He cried and the tears burst out of his eyes. And whose eyes were these? Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu anhu. And whose tears? Siddiqi Akbar's tears. And what were these tears that came out of the eyes? This eye, these eyes, the tears that came out of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, these were the tears of love. They were the same eyes, the same tears, wet. Then they reached Thawr, the cave of Thawr. And he, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, said, Rasulullah, don't go in there yet. Let me clean the cave first. Let me get all the dangers out. Don't know how long this cave been here, what will be in there, creatures, dangers.
Wait, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me clean the debris out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped outside, and then Abu Bakr Siddiq with his hands in the darkness of the cave, cleaned the cave from its dirt and dust. There must have been scorpions and spiders there. He got the mool out with his bare hands as much as he could. And then he closed all the holes with stones, and the cloth he had, he would tear it and he would fill the holes and the gaps with his cloth. So nothing would come out of the holes of the cave. One hole was left. One hole was left. He couldn't fill it with his clothes. He ran out of cloth. So what did he do? When Rasulullah came, he said, please, O Rasulullah, come into the cave. I've prepared, I've cleaned. He thought in his heart what he'd do. That as soon as Abu Bakr Siddiq sat down, then Rasulullah put his blessed head on where? The lap of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Subhanallah, what a great event. This is such a great maqam and status of pride. Abu Bakr Siddiq got this maqam, that Allah Ta'ala gave him this status. That how close was the face of Rasulullah to his face? That how close would be the face? That their breath would have been close to each other, because the cave was small. How much qurb and nearness, and how long Abu Bakr Siddiq must have looked close on to Rasulullah, to the face of Abu Bakr Siddiq, and what he would have seen on the blessed face of Rasulullah, and what ma'rifah would he have attained at that time? No other companion would have attained this in his life. Upon this, the second number two sahabi, who's that? Abu Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He, his whole life, pleaded to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Once in the future, he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq, can I ask you, let's do a bargain, let's do a trade transaction. The time has passed, life has passed, Rasulullah has passed. Now it was the time of Khilafat of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Rasulullah had gone, departed. And Abu Bakr Siddiq said, what do you want to trade with me? They had love amongst each other because they were close. He said, okay. Hazrat Umar said, take all of my good deeds, of Abu Bakr. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, give you all of my amal, but give me that one night in the cave of Thawr when you spent with Rasulullah and you served him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give me that deed. Aha, imagine. Imagine how he knew, he valued the weight. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at that time, when he was in the cave, now back to the hadith. You would have heard this story many times, but the more you hear, it is not enough. Every time you get a new enjoyment on listening to this story. So that cave, Abu Bakr Siddiq, there was one hole left. The cloth had run out, he couldn't tear his clothes anymore. So he put his toes from his foot so that nothing would come out of that hole into the cave. And the commentators, the lovers, the Sufi Ikram have stated the commentary here so that you understand as we go along. So what happened? There was a snake inside and it bit Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu on his foot. It was a strong bite. And he would have felt the pain. Then with the pain, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not move a jolt. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. He could have seen. Then the tears came out of the eyes again of Abu Bakr Siddiq. The same water, the teardrop. When that tear drops, it falls out of the eye of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and it falls on the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine now the scene. First, he cried out of love when he heard of the migration journey. And now the tear drops onto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face and the tears drop after the severe pain. What were these tears? This was showing the jazba, the love, same thing, love and jazba that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had. But these tears also, they came and they dropped onto the face of Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, this was extreme qurb, qurb and nearness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The qurb and the nearness. And due to that shukr, that gratitude, those tears came out. He wasn't crying out of sadness or worry or issues. He was crying out of shukr and gratitude that Allah, I am looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from these eyes. And I'm so extremely grateful to you for this. So the snake, when it bit, what was that story then? So there's a point that comes out, the Ashiks, they mention this. They say that the point here was that from in that cave of Thawr, in that cave of Aur, that the creatures knew that one day the Prophet ﷺ will be our guest in this cave. So that snake, it was waiting for so long, ages, that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ will come to this cave and I will see him. So he didn't bite Abu Bakr Siddiq out of anger. Rather, there was a restriction. He said, oh, why are you stopping me from seeing the Prophet of Allah ﷺ?
The commentators have written this. They say, we agreed that after biting Abu Bakr Siddiq, he could not have stayed alive naturally, but his biting as Abu Bakr Siddiq was not out of anger, it was out of love. So that bite was that you are an ashik, I'm also an ashik, let me also see Rasulullah SAW, I've been waiting for so long. Aha, what a commentary. So for this reason, there was pain, but he didn't allow that to be made apparent. And he didn't say that there was pain due to which he cried. No. The tears, when they dropped on the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Rasulullah woke up. He said, "What is the care? What is the issue, Abu Bakr?" He didn't say that I'm afraid or I've got fear or pain. He said that something's bit me, but he didn't say that these are tears out of difficulty or pain. And he hid the secret. He said that I'm doing shukr of my Rabb. I'm grateful to my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa taala. Subhanahu. So that biting of that snake, if he really wanted to bite and inject poison into Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, then he would have done that and he could have passed away. But he didn't complain. There was no pain. But even then, Allahu Akbar. And there's another status. Look at that, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Where did he bite you? On my toe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the saliva and he applied it to his foot, to his toe, and look at that solution. What his body must have become at that time due to the saliva. So these were the tears also out of extreme gratitude. First were out of extreme love, these were out of extreme gratitude. And then the third time, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to depart from this world, when he passed away, Abu Bakr Siddiq was standing in the corner with respect, no shrieking, no screaming out. He was aware, he was conscious, he was the wahid, one companion who stayed alert. In consciousness, no shrieking, craziness, madness, and beating chest, etc. But he should have cried the most. He should have trembled the most. He should have shrieked the most. But he had been given a duty by Allah that after Rasulullah was to pass away, or had passed away, he had to look after all of the Sahaba. So he was awake, conscious, but he started to cry in a controllable manner. What were these teardrops? These were the tears of separation. The Rasulullah has separated from me today. So what I wanted to say, my brothers, is that the thing can be one, and the capacity and the reason behind it can be different. Like the tears were out of love, gratitude, and separation. So when you solve sadness, solve it with sadness, with sorrow. So when there's deep sorrow, we have sorrow in life due to money and illness and other issues. No, this is not the reason for our sorrows. These are natural things. But if we solve these issues with sorrow itself, then we'll have no problem. So we have to solve all our issues of sorrow with sorrow itself in life. Will we solve it with sorrow? So you can ask me now, Hazrat, which sorrow are you talking about? How can we solve sadness with sadness, problems with problems? There's only one issue that makes us sad and sorrow nowadays, is the sorrow of the world, that we can't solve these issues. These sorrows and issues will come time and time again. Allah says, the sorrow of the dunya, how do you solve it? How do you solve it? With the sorrow of our Rabb. They are both sorrows. You understand my point? Like the tears were the same. The same tears coming out the same eye, wet. But we have the sorrow of dunya, which doesn't give us satisfaction. We're not content. We aren't, dawlat, wealth doesn't give us happiness. Other issues don't give us happiness. There's nothing that can give us happiness and content. I'll explain this to you. That there are many people who do ibadah, they're not satisfied, they're not happy, they're not at peace, they've got problems. What's the worry? What's the issue? الَّذِينَ تَتْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبِنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ The Quran says that dhikr gives you the solution. So why is the dhikr in worry? Say to worry, we keep on running after money, after the dunya, after difficulties and problems. We take so many tranquilizers and antidepressants so they can fall asleep. So will the waswasa now come in the heart of that person? I will solve the issue of the waswasa today. Explain it. Mawlana, explain to me. The Quran says, أَلَّذِينَ تَتْمَعِنَّ قُلُوبِنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ So why does the dhakir come to me and say, Hazrat, I've got problems. Remember this, I'll give you the answer for this today, inshallah. Remember this. So what is the cure for sorrow? Sadness, it is sorrow itself. So the first sorrow is the sorrow of the world, sorrow of the children, sorrow over money, dunya, children, health, home, assets, shop, business, all the property you own, the stomach, the food, headaches, etc. Sorrow, 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 sorrow. And how do we solve this? The solution will be sorrow itself, but it will not be sorrow of the dunya, sorrow of Allah. Sorrow attributed, linked to Allah. What is that gham? What is that sorrow? What is that sadness that we will solve the problems with? That is Allahu Akbar. That is the ajeeb and unique sorrow
that is Allah pleased with me or not? This is the sorrow we should have all day long. The feeling of concern, anxiety. Is Allah pleased with me or not? This is such a sweet and beloved and tasty sorrow that in this sorrow, even when you don't sleep, you'll feel happy. In that sadness, even in sleeping, you'll have the difficulty. When you sleep with that sorrow, with that pain, that is Allah pleased with me or not? Without the antidepressants, without the sleeping pills, even then you will feel sorrow. But with this sorrow, even if you're awake all night long, and you're shrieking, and you're sweating, and you're worried, is Allah pleased with me or not? Is Allah pleased with me or not? If you've got this constant worry in your head, is Allah happy with me? Is He satisfied with me? What a beautiful worry. What a beautiful sorrow. What a great pastime. When I keep having this thought in my head all day long, then all the worries of the world would drown. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we don't have this sorrow in our hearts. We don't have this sorrow in our brains, in our hearts, in our minds. But with the fadl of Allah, blessings of Allah, if this sorrow comes, then everything else will disappear. Is Allah happy with me? Is Allah pleased with me? Is He satisfied with what I'm doing? Am I doing the right thing? The true lover is the one who thinks like this. This is the dalil, the proof for the true love of Allah, to think about our beloved Allah. The ashik should keep thinking, is Allah happy? Is Allah happy with me? Have I overcome all of the problems? Have I passed the test? Think about it. Doesn't this question come in your head all day long? Will my business run? Will I make profit? Is this car good? Shall I marry this woman or not? Will this wife be good for me or not? Are these questions coming to my mind all day long? But these are worries of the dunya. And the same question comes. The lover of Allah, the same problems that give us difficulties, issues. Is this job good for me? Shall I apply for this job? Should I start this business? Should I buy this house? Will this be good for us? Should we move here? Will this be good for us? And if in turn, you replace all these thoughts and sorrows with, is Allah happy with me or not? Have I passed the test with Allah or not? Aha, then you've passed the test. But who has this sorrow? From millions of people, not one person has this. And those people who have this, look at their great lives. And people will be amazed. Why are people living the life of issues and problems and worries today in the world? Why are the people sad with the issues of the world? What sadness do you have? The people lie on the bed at home or in hospital or problems. You could be hungry for days. You could have problems in life. Extreme difficulties. But that is the whole of the dunya. And he says, I've got no problems. I have no issues. I've only got one sorrow, sadness. Is Allah happy with me or displeased with me? And he doesn't blame anything else. He doesn't blame anyone else. Subhanallah, if he doesn't have money, doesn't have assets, he doesn't have resources, and people look at him and say, oh, you're poor, you're downtrodden, you've got nothing. He says, you can be sad. I'm not. Allah's pleased with me. I'm pleased. I'm happy. Ah, Babu, I'm happy. I don't need nothing else. And the dunya sorrow goes as well. And dunya comes at the same time, but he doesn't have love for that dunya. And the wife, they ask that his wife, does she like to live with him? He's awake all night long doing ibadah. And he can say, I'm totally happy with my wife. This is the love of the world I'm talking about. So this same ishq, when it comes into the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with the people of the dunya, say he hasn't eaten for a few days. He must be in extreme difficulty. He said, no, I'm happy. I'm happy with my Rabb. I know this. I'm happy with my Rabb. My Rabb's happy with me. I've got no problems. Why do you keep asking me, do you need this? Do you need that? You've got problems. We'll assist you. We'll help you. That is the mutma'in person. Yeah. Allah Ta'ala says, irji'i ila rabbikum. Allah Ta'ala says, about the person who is content with peace of the heart. May Allah Ta'ala put this into our hearts also. That's why we're collected and gathered today. That's why we do this. We discuss, we remember Allah. So how do we solve the sorrow of the world? With the sorrow of Rabb, of Allah. So you can ask me the question now that I've explained, that we solve the sorrow with sorrow. So where do we bring this sorrow into our hearts? That Hazrat, tell us. Are you saying this from your hearts? The person who said it from his heart, inshallah, the sorrow of Allah will come into his heart. If he's sincere and humble. So all the worries of the world will come out of your heart. And you'll keep thinking, is Allah happy with me? I pray salah. Shall I do pray again? I'll do another sajood. I'll do another tasbih. Maybe Allah will be pleased with me due to this or that. This person says that, isn't it? Oh, I'll open the shop another half an hour. Oh, I'll work for another 15 minutes. Maybe another customer will come, isn't it? I'll make some more profit. Don't we say this? Oh, okay, I'll drive the taxi another half an hour. Maybe I'll get another customer. Oh, it doesn't matter, I'll do some overtime at the end of the 8-hour shift. I'll do 15 minutes, 30 minutes overtime. I'll get pay and a half. Okay, night's passed. Okay, chalo, I'll sleep in the morning. I'll work all night long. What do we get? Pounds. We say this, don't we? And here, when we have the worry of Allah, okay, I'll wake up all night long, Allah will be happy with me. I'll stay up all night long. Hi, hi, what a great life. This is our life. The same eye, the tears come out, different emotion, different intention. We have sorrow, different sorrow. So we have the sorrow of the world, and some from people's lives, the effort is due to the sorrow of Allah, and both are gham, both are sadness and sorrow, but they're different. So brothers, the sorrow, sadness, regard for Allah, how do we get this? I'll tell you hadith. You say, I keep on talking from my own mind, I'll tell you hadith. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, he stated, narrated a hadith that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was forgiven by Allah, he was forgiven, isn't it? Then all the angels came to congratulate Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael, Israel, Israfil, all the big angels came and said, congratulations, O Adam alayhi salam. Ya subhanallah. Wah, congratulations. Everyone came, mashallah, enjoyment for you, now Allah's forgiven you. You've been forgiven. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, listen clearly, listen carefully to what I'm saying, that, O Adam, you have given inheritance to your children, a fikr, a sorrow, problems, difficulties, because he was living in life in the world. That you are taking this for your children in the world. And your Rabb, what has He given as a compensation for this, as a solution for all the worries? Who's bringing this? In inheritance. Gham, sorrow, sadness, issues. Allah's decided there and then that what I'm giving to you in opposition to that, and today is our cure. Listen carefully, what is that cure? You want to hear it now? £5 please each, then I'll tell you. Ah, what a great deal, eh? So I'll tell you anyway. Allah Ta'ala said, O Adam, you came in with your goods, worry, issues, problems. And what am I giving as a solution? What I'm giving to your children is tawbah. Take tawbah, repentance, as the solution. Subhanallah. This is the solution, my brothers. What is the solution? Tawbah. Allah Ta'ala said, as long as your awlad, your children, O Adam. This is the hadith. This is the meaning of the hadith. As long as your awlad, your children, just like you, they keep on calling out to me, just like you called out to me, O Adam. Then I will, just like I gave to you, I will forgive them also in the same way. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. As long as, just like you called out to me, pleaded to me, if they plead to me and call out to me, I will continue to forgive them. And as a gift, in compensation for their tawbah on the day of judgment, the person who did tawbah, he will come out of the grave in such a way, he will come out of the grave smiling, laughing, happy. And as long as he will live in the world, the person who does tawbah in the world, the person who does tawbah in the world, as long as he will live in the world, I will accept all of his du'as, all of his requests. What a great maqam, status for true repentance and tawbah. So when a person does true repentance, do you understand my points today? When a human being, when a believer does true tawbah, what does he attain? All of the sadness disappears and Allah's sadness comes into his heart. The sorrow of Allah. Now I'll come to that point, that question. That from ibadat, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقَعُودًا الَّذِينَ تَتْمَعِنَّ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. After salah, why don't we get satisfaction? After Quran, why don't we get satisfaction and peace in our hearts? After all of the worship acts, why do we go towards haram? Why do we go towards bad deeds? Why do we earn money in a haram way? Why are we not satisfied? We do this to become mutmain, to get away all the worries from our lives. Why do we do this? We pray salah, we do all of the deeds, we worship, we do dhikr, we recite Quran, we recite tilawat, we do hajj, we give zakah. So what is the reason that despite all of these deeds, those people who are abideen, the worshippers, still have worry of the world? Because they've done tawbah, but they haven't done true, sincere tawbah in their lives. What tawbah? Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. If you do tawbah on this basis, ati'u Allah, and you say, I'm consistent in salah, then where is Atiur Rasul? In your tawbah, you have to include Atiur Rasul, that not one second in my life will pass without the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This is the scale and weigh your tawbah. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul are both things there. Sit on the scale. On that basis, analyze yourself. I swear by Allah, Quran and Hadith are all bearing witness to this point. All the Sahaba, then you will become that insan, human being. You will not have the worry of the world. You will have the worry of Akhirah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be no greater satisfied and peace at heart person than you in the world. And if this tawbah is not tawbah, then what is it? Doesn't matter what you do, ibadat in your life, worship, deeds, try to solve your issues, but you will drown in the worry and sorrow of the world. You came like that and you will leave the world like that. My brothers, true tawbah, sincere tawbah is the greatest action. It's very easy. Very easy. Habshi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came and said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm a severe sinner. I am a severe sinner. I've done many sins. I've done lots of sins. Will Allah forgive me? Will Allah forgive me?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an answer, "Yes, Allah will forgive you." He didn't ask him what sins, how many sins. Even if your sins accrue and stack up to the heavens. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala told the ummah that as much as you ask me, I will keep on listening. But what is the tawbah? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Not my tawbah, oh, I'll leave this, I can't, I'm forced to leave this. I'll do this action, but I won't leave this, I'll do this after this day. I'll do this tawbah after this age, after this year or this decade, then I'll do tawbah. This is not what Allah Ta'ala likes. Oh, I made a mistake, no, I'll do it. No, if you're doing tawbah, then I'm speaking about the Habshi. He said, "What? You want to do tawbah? Ji tawbah." He said, "Allah, I want to ask Allah, if I ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, will Allah Ta'ala forgive me?" Rasulullah said, "Yes." He wasn't surprised, he didn't reject that, and he continued on his way. Then he came back. He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the sins I do, if I do tawbah, will Allah watch? Does Allah watch the sins I do?" Yes, he does. And he screamed out, and his life passed away there and then. Tawbatun nasuh. He said, "What's the point of life now?" After tawbah, he was so much at peace and satisfied that he had no worry about the issues after that. After doing tawbah, he doesn't prefer to live in the world after that, once he's done true tawbah. That's the amount of azmat and greatness a person attains. He has total peace and satisfaction in his heart. But what will we have to do? True, sincere tawbah. This is the solution, my brothers. If you understand the ilaj, the cure, then there are two things. Either you continue to stay trapped in the issues of the world, trapped, and then after dying, you go towards the other direction of punishment. So when you have problems in the world and you don't take the solution, then you keep on having the life of problems and difficulties, and after passing away, there are difficulties and problems. That even when we pass away, we think we're free from the world. We say, "Oh, we'll pass away and we'll get free," but even after dying, we don't get satisfaction, then where will we go? Then you say, no, I'll pass away, I'll be free from this world, problems. And after passing away, if you don't attain satisfaction, where will you go then? What will be the reckoning then? So the best is get satisfaction and peace here, now, right now. Allah Ta'ala has given us everything in this world, Jannah, Akhirah, and all of the love and the ma'rifah and the nearness and irfan. Everything, the tafsir we get in this world, from alif, la, mim to an-nas, we'll get the tafsir, the commentary of the Quran in our lives here in this world. We have the choice. It's your choice. You do and follow the life route that you like. If you come to me in the way of my Habib and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you can reach close to Allah, you can attain all of the benefits and rewards in this world, then do tawbatun nasuh, true tawbah, sincere tawbah, take all of that path, and then don't split hairs after that. Don't play games after that. Then not a second will pass. A person is detached from the world, and physically or spiritually he's detached from the world. So should we do this, my friends? Let's do dua to Allah that in this night, due to the sadqa of this night, Allah Ta'ala makes us such a zakir that alhamdulillah we become those who do true tawbah, atiullah wa atiur Rasul, according to the hukum of Allah. We totally obey Allah and in accordance to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will see the fruits in our lives. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us all. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.